Well, welcome. It's great to have you here today. If we haven't met before, if you're newer to C3, my name is Mark. I'm one of the pastors here at C3. And we are so glad that you are watching us today and you're part of C3 online stream. Let me tell you where we're going. Today, we're starting with a brand new series. We're talking and we're calling it about escape is what we're calling it. And why we're calling escape is this. Some of you have at some point probably gone to an escape room, right? You've gone to an escape room, and you know that when you go to an escape room, there's like a kind of little storyline with it, and you have to try to figure out the clues to be able to get yourself out of there, to escape out of the escape room. Well, today we're starting a thing called escape, and it's not escape room, but how do we escape from temptation? And let's be real honest for a second. We all have temptation in life when life is normal, right? But here we are in quarantine. And this is actually, just counting up today, this is the sixth Sunday where we've only been online, where people cannot come to the building or can't go anywhere. We're all quarantined. This is like the sixth week now we've been doing this. And what's interesting is that during this time when we're quarantined, guess what? We still have temptation. We still have to get something, some escape to get out of this temptation. And let me tell you, being quarantined, it doesn't mean that we stop having temptation and struggles in our life. In fact, we probably have more. You know, a lot of times people temptations. They have temptations in normal time, but here they are at home. You're at home with your kids, you're home with your parents, you're home with your spouse, and you're like, oh my goodness. For some of you, it's like, yay, we've never had this much close time, right? For others, you're like, where is the bottle? I mean, you're drinking elsewhere, but now you're at home and you're drinking even more. You're having struggles. Can I tell you that temptation constantly happens, and it may even be happening more for you in this isolation period? So today we're going to be talking about, this is just the kind of the beginning point. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about this, about what does God's word say about temptation? And does God have an escape for each and every one of us? And I'm going to tell you, all of us have something that we deal with. It could be alcohol. It could be street drugs. It could be shooting up something or taking pills. It could be smoking something that you know you probably shouldn't be doing, but man, it's just something that you just enjoy. It could be sexual addiction. It could be pornography. It could be anything. It could be spending. I mean, you maybe love to spend, and you're thinking that's what money is for. It's not to save, it's to spend. But all the stores are like closed, and so you're like, where am I going to spend my money? So you're like going to Walmart and Target, because those are the place, or Costco, those are places that the main ones that are open. And then everything else, you're just spending online. And you're getting like the UPS trucks are just lining up at your door, dropping all this stuff off because you are a spender. And you're always tempted by that. For some of you, it might be gambling. Maybe you go to Vegas. Maybe you go to some of the places around the state where you can go to casinos or whatever. But now you're like online gambling. You're just like, man, I don't know what else to do. And you have this temptation. You have these struggles. You have these different things going along. For some, let's be honest, some of the temptations, some of the things that we do is our phones and social media. We are on that so much. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying that when it gets over the line, there's a problem. When you get over the line, there's always a problem. So let me give you a verse. We're going to start off with, and we're going to talk about this a little bit more. In 1 Corinthians, it was written in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians, a guy named Paul wrote this, and he says this. He says, if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. If you think you're standing firm, be careful, because you do not fall. You will fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. This is amazing. It's saying, be careful. If you think you're not going to fall, that's about the time when you are going to do it. See, here's something I want you to understand. Every time there's a temptation, there's always a way out. Every time there's a temptation, God allows us, God gives us a way out. He gives us an escape. 1 Corinthians 10 continues and says, and God is faithful. God is faithful. Absolutely, he is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. That's the good news. Now, I want you to listen to this. Let's go back and look at it. God is faithful. And the good news is he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But then look at the next part. But when you are tempted, what does God do? He will also provide, say the next words with me at home, a way out. God will provide a way out so that you and I, so that we can endure it. This is good news that Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, that God will give us a way out. He will give us an escape. He will help us to get beyond this. And I believe this, listen. I believe that on the other side of this series, talking about temptation, I believe that on the other side, there will be people that will find a way out. There will be people that will get the escape from God, that will be able to finally get released, finally get out of this prison that's holding them, this temptation that they keep falling for. See, every time there's a temptation, there's always a way out. God always has an escape for us. He tells us that in the scripture. But why don't we take it? It's because we don't know about it. We don't understand it. We're not in God's word. We're not reading it. We're not praying. We're not living for God. We're living for ourselves. But I believe for those of you that are watching right now that are part of the online stream, part of C3, that are followers of Jesus Christ, you still struggle. We all struggle. We all have temptations. But I believe on the other side of this series, many of you are going to be finally freed because you're going to hear God's word and you're actually going to start to apply it to your life and it's going to change everything. It's going to change everything in your life. So what is temptation? What is it? Well, temptation is this. It's anything that promises satisfaction at the cost of obedience to God. It's anything that promises satisfaction at the cost of obedience to God. So we can do one or the other. We can have satisfaction, or we can honor and obey God. We have one choice to make. Which one? Oftentimes when it comes to temptation, we go for satisfaction. I want to feel better. This makes me happy. It makes me more relaxed. Instead of honoring and obeying God. Just think about that. Next time you are tempted, you have to realize you're going to have two choices. You can have satisfaction, or you can honor and obey God. Which one will you do? So today, here's where I really want to go with us today. Today, I want us to talk about four truths about temptations. This is something that probably you and I probably haven't even thought about before, but when we look in Scripture, we actually see some verses that tell us that there are these four truths about temptation. And so here's the first one. And if you want to take notes, we have our C3 app you can take notes on right there if you want to download that and take notes. But here's the thing. The first truth that I want us to talk about temptation is this. It is not a sin to be tempted. It is not a sin to be tempted. A lot of times we think it is. We think when I am tempted, that means I just sinned. That is not what that means. It is not a sin to be tempted, not at all. Now, Hebrews 4:15 says this. It says, for we do not have a high priest. Now, that's Jesus, right? We do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. Now, let's just pause for a second. Keep the verse here, but let's think about this. I am so glad that Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah, the one who died and rose again, which we celebrated last week on Easter, I am so glad that we do not have a high priest, which is Jesus, who is unable to empathize. He does empathize with us when our weaknesses, because but we have one, that's Jesus, who has been, listen, this is incredible, who has been tempted in every way. Stop and think about that. Everything you've been tempted by, Jesus has been tempted like by that as well when he was walking on the earth. But we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are. Yet, the only difference between Jesus and I is this. Yet he did not sin. Jesus was tempted by sin, by doing things like you and I, the things that we want to do that would just satisfy us. Because again, we had two choices. When we have temptation, we can sin and we can do this to satisfy ourselves, or we can honor and obey God. Jesus had the same. When he was tempted on this earth, he could have been satisfied, or he could have honored and obeyed God. Which did he do? He honored and obeyed God. That is what you and I are to do. Now, let me give you a couple things. One of the things is this, that, I mean, think about when you're driving down the street. Like today, it's getting a little warmer out now. It's springtime, sometimes in the mid-70s. You're driving down the street. Maybe you're going to Costco looking to see, do they have toilet paper or not? I don't know. So you're driving down the street, and all of a sudden, as you are driving, you see there's a jogger on the side of the road. Because it's a little bit warmer, they're wearing kind of skimpy shorts and they're kind of jogging and stuff. And you just kind of notice them as you're driving by. And you're like, woo! And then all of a sudden, a thought comes to your mind: maybe I ought to turn around to make sure that they get where they're going. Right? If you're doing that, you're probably starting to cross the line. You're probably going across the line. But being tempted doesn't mean that you've sinned. Being tempted doesn't mean that you've sinned. So let me give you an example, true story. There was a guy, I'm going to say 3 or 4 years ago. It might have been even longer, but about 3 or 4 years ago, there was a gentleman that came to me and confessed something to me, that he had kind of a sexual addiction with pornography and stuff. He shared this with me. We talked for quite a while, different times and so on. Fast forward about 6 months into this, he calls me. He calls me and he says, I am in such and such state. I'm here for a conference or whatever for my work. I'm here doing work. And he says, and I checked into the hotel and it's just me. And he said, I started to look at the hotel's movies that they have that you can rent or whatever. He says, I'm looking at them. And he said, a couple of them were not good movies to watch. And I am so ashamed that I sinned. And I talked to him on the phone. I'm going, help me out. Did you actually watch those movies? No, I'm just scrolling through to see what movies they have. And I saw that. And I, wait a minute. So you're telling me that you didn't watch the movies? No, I didn't watch movies. Okay, so you're telling me that you are by yourself in another state, in a hotel by yourself, and you're looking for movies, and you came across a couple of these. You did not watch them, but you could have, and nobody would ever have known except for God and you. But you didn't watch them. Instead, you called me, your pastor, and confessed that this was a temptation to you. Can I tell you, way to go? Can I tell you, you didn't sin. Just because you're tempted doesn't mean you sinned. You sin when you give in to the temptation. Oh. Do you understand that? Do we understand that? Do we get that? It's not a sin to be tempted. It's a sin when we give in to the temptation. But see, to just be tempted, that is not at that point. That isn't a sin. So let's look at what truth number two tells us about temptation. Truth number two says this: you are never above temptation. You and I, all of us, if you are human, if you've got flesh and bone, all of us are never above temptation. We can never say, oh, nothing ever tempts me. I'm beyond that at all. We don't ever think that. 1 Corinthians, Paul tells us this in 1 Corinthians. He says, if you think you're standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. In other words, if you think you're standing firm, you think you're above temptation, that's about the time you're going to fall. That's when you're going to drop. That's when it's going to hit the fan. That's when it's going to be messy. Don't ever think that you are above temptation. Some of you right now, you're going to think I'm a mind reader. Some of you right now are thinking this. You're going, oh man, you know, it's interesting. I don't need this, but I hope so-and-so is on this online stream or going to watch this later. If not, I'm just going to have to send them a link to this video so that they can see it, because boy, they really need to see it. Can I tell you, if you're thinking of other people that need to see this message, but you don't think you need to see this message, whew, you are in a dangerous place. Because that is telling me that you think you are above temptation and other people are coming to mind. And maybe you're right. Maybe those other people do need to see this video and actually understand these verses and actually apply this stuff. You're right. Maybe that's true. But if you think of other people, but you don't think for of yourself that you need it, you are about to fall. Because everybody gets tempted. Everybody has that thing. And I'm going to tell you, even Jesus, we read about, even Jesus was tempted, but yet he didn't sin. Are you saying that you're above Jesus, that you're not tempted by anything? Because if Jesus, the Son of God, was tempted, can I tell you, you are going to be tempted. And if you don't think so, you are fooling yourself. Because it's good, the other shoe is going to drop. It's not going to be good. Never think that you are above temptation. Truth number three. Scripture tells us truth number three about temptation is this. God will never tempt you. God will never, ever, ever tempt you. Do you know what God does instead? God tests you, not tempts you. He tests you. He tests me. Now, what's the difference? What's the difference between temptation and being tested? What are the difference? Well, I want you to think back. Now, some of you that are watching, maybe you are middle schoolers and high schoolers, and you'll get this right away. For those who are adults like myself, I want you as adults to think back to when you were a middle schooler or a high schooler, or even in college. When you were in school, what would happen? Your teacher would give you a test. Why? Because your teacher wanted to see what you had learned so that you could be moved forward, so that you could go to the next level, so that you could go to the next grade. The test shows if you are ready to go to the next movement, to the next area. That's what we are to do. This is what God does for us. God tests us. Why does God test us? Here's something for your notes. God tests you and I to move us forward. God tests you to move you forward. That's a good thing. Now, let me tell you, God doesn't test you so that God can learn if you're ready to go to the next level. No, because let's be honest. God knows everything. God doesn't learn. God knows everything. He already learns. He knows everything. So God is testing us to move us forward. And who is learning from the test? It's us. We are learning that we have made it past this and God is moving us forward. So God tests us to move us forward. But here's the next thing for your notes. Satan tempts you and I to move us backwards. God tests us to move us forward. Satan tempts us to move us backwards. Satan is always trying to push us back, to get us in the opposite direction, away from God. In fact, Scripture is very clear. Scripture tells us in John 10:10, Jesus is talking, says that we have an enemy that wants to kill, steal, and destroy us. That is Satan. Satan wants to kill, steal, and destroy each and every one of us. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy our relationship with God. And if you do not have a relationship with God, he wants to steal, kill, and destroy you even coming into a relationship with God. And he wants to kill, steal, and destroy your marriage and your finances and your kids and your family and your work ethic. He wants to destroy everything because he hates God. Satan hates God. But how in the world do you hurt God? The only way to hurt God is to hurt what God loves, and that is you. That is me. That's us. That's people. And so Satan goes after us. Whether you're a follower of Jesus or not, he is your spiritual enemy. And he hates you and wants to keep you away from God. God gives us tests to promote us to the next level. Satan doesn't give us tests. He gives us temptation to draw us backwards, to back in the muck and the mire and all the sin that we are in. Let me give you a verse. In James 1:13, it says this. It says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. Isn't that interesting? nor does he tempt anyone. God doesn't tempt anybody at all. He never has done it. God never is tempted and he never will tempt. Don't ever say that God is tempting you. God will never tempt you. He will test you, but he will not tempt you. We instead get this from the sin nature. We see it in Scripture. When Adam and Eve sinned, all of a sudden sin nature began throughout the whole world. And it's affected you and it's affected me. It's because of our own sin nature that we have. God doesn't tempt us. We tempt ourselves. Satan tempts us. We allow the temptation. It's never by God. You know what's from? It's from our own evil desires. It's from our own evil desires. And you're like, oh no, I don't believe it. Okay, let me just prove it to you. If you have a two-year-old in your home and you have a bunch of other two-year-olds come in for a play date, all of a sudden you're going to see your two-year-old grabbing all the toys away from the other kids going, mine, 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 mine. What? Yet for the first 2 years of your child's life, you're probably trying to teach them how to share, right? Why are they not getting that? Why are they going, mine, 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 and they just want everything, everything, everything? It's because of the sin nature. You are a bad parent because they have a sin nature just like we have, because we've all inherited the sin nature. This is a problem within us. And here's what it says in verse 14 and 15 of James 1. It says this, but each person is tempted, listen, each person is tempted when they are dragged away by, say the next part with me out loud, their own evil desires and enticed. You see, God doesn't tempt us. Satan tempts us because he knows our own evil desires within us. And he plays on those. And he leads with those, this temptation to try to pull us backwards, farther into the muck, the mire, the sin, the temptation. That's what he does. God doesn't do that. God doesn't tempt us. He tests us. God will never tempt anyone. You see, this scripture tells us this. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, what happens when sin's full grown? Gives birth to death. Can I tell you, sin never makes things better. It instead, it always destroys and it always leads to death. Let me give you an example. How many people do you personally know that were married, that one of the people had an affair? Was that a good thing for the marriage or not? In most times, having a sin nature and giving into that sin, having an affair, is the death of the marriage. And it's the death of the family. You see, that is not God's heart for each and every one of us. Instead, every temptation, here's something for your notes, every temptation is an invitation to depend on God. Now, I want to say that again. Listen, every temptation is an invitation to depend on God. Every time we are tempted, God is giving us an invitation to depend on him. Instead of going into all the stuff that would make it satisfying for us if we gave into it, God's going, no, I'm going to give you an invitation to depend on me, to know me better, to lean into me, God. That's what God's calling us to do. Are we doing that? Have we ever tried that at all? Let me give you the fourth truth for today. Truth four about temptation is this. There is always a way out. There's always an escape. God always gives me and you opportunities to get out of this. 1 Corinthians tells us this. 1 Corinthians 10:13, Paul continues writing and he says this. Our God is what? Faithful. Our God is faithful. We're not faithful. We sin, we give up, we give in to temptation. But Paul is telling us in 1 Corinthians 10:13, our God is faithful. He, God, will not let you be, say it with me, tempted beyond what you can bear. God will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Not at all. But when, it goes on and says this, but when you are tempted, he, God, will, listen, what will he do? Say it with me. Provide a way out. In other words, he's going to provide an escape so that you and I, so that we can endure it. That's the good news. That right there is the good news. that we need to hold on to and we need to actually apply to our life. He will provide a way out. He'll provide an escape so that we can endure the temptation. Well, what would it be like? What would it look like? How is our way out? Can I tell you how some of the ways we can get out? Some of the ways is when we confess. When we confess it. Proverbs 28 says this: whoever conceals their sins does not prosper. But the one who confesses and renounces their sins, finds mercy. Have you confessed and renounced to find mercy? And then another thing is, when we confess, who are we confessing to? One of the people we're confessing to is to God. We are confessing to God for God to forgive us. 1 John 1:9 says this: if you and I confess our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from how much unrighteousness? Oh, all unrighteous. Not 50, not 75%, not 99.9, all 100% of unrighteous. He will forgive us of all if we confess, and we confess to God. That's one of the ways why we confess, is we confess for God to give us forgiving, for God to be able to forgive us of our sins when we gave in to temptation. But I want to give you another verse, and I think this is just as powerful as the last one. In James 5, now James was the younger brother of Jesus, and James, in James 5, verse 16, towards the back of the Bible, he writes this. Now listen to this. He says, confess your sins to God. No, we already talked about that in the last verse. But James is saying, in this time, confess your sins to each other. And do what? Pray for each other so that you may, say that with me, what? Be healed. So here's what this verse is saying. And the last verse. The last verse is saying, confess to God our sins so that He can forgive us. But here James is saying, confess our sins to other people, not to be forgiven, but so we can be healed. Isn't this an interesting thing? You know what God knows? God knows how He created us. God knows our sin nature. God knows what the stuff we deal with. And God says, I want you to confess to me so that I, God, can forgive you of your sins. But I also want you to be healed from this so that you don't have to keep going through this over and over and over again. I want you to be healed. And for you to be healed, God knows, you need to have God with skin on. You need somebody that is a follower of Jesus Christ that you can look right in the eyes and you can confess to them the struggles that you've been dealing with. And as you speak to them about your struggles and they are speaking to you about their struggles back and forth, you guys are just sharing your stuff, then you're confessing to each other and now you're praying for each other. And as you hold each other accountable going forward, that will be what will actually heal you. If you think you can beat this temptation by yourself, it will not happen. You need somebody else. It's God with skin on that's right there in front of me. Once this pandemic thing is over, you can actually go to coffee with somebody. But right now it's maybe just, you know, a FaceTime thing, or maybe it's a Zoom thing or whatever, but you're doing it online. But when you can go face to face, go to lunch to somebody, go to coffee with somebody, and you're actually talking and sharing and you're praying for each other. This is where God, through James, is saying you will be healed. This is the only way you can be healed. You can't do it on your own. Now, sometimes when you confess it to somebody, here's what's going to happen. When you confess it to somebody, it may go a little bit to some other people. Not that they're telling stories or anything, but they're saying, I'm helping you. You shared this problem with me. You've confessed it to me. But I think you need more help. You might need therapy. You might need rehab. And that's okay. You know, I think a lot of people think there's stigma with therapy and rehab. But can I tell you, I absolutely love people that go into therapy and rehab. You know why? Because that is showing me that they're serious and they want to actually get free. And this is showing that they're doing what they can to be freed, because God always offers an escape, a way out. And sometimes we need people that are smarter than us, that know things better than us, that can help us to understand why we do this and show us another way. We confess it to others, and sometimes the others maybe is a therapist, maybe it's somebody at rehab. But all of a sudden, you are saying, I'm not going to keep this hidden anymore. I'm going to put the light on it. Because let me tell you, one of the things we talked about in the past is this, is that sin grows in the dark. But when you put the light of Jesus Christ on it and you expose it to other people, all of a sudden it has no more power. Sin cannot grow in the light. It has to grow in the dark. You're bringing it out to the light. You're telling other people. You're telling your pastor. You're telling your therapist. You're telling the person at rehab. You're telling whatever. You are getting freed finally. Oh. And you're being accountable to other people. And that other person that you shared, maybe they're being accountable also to you as well. As we wrap up, I'm going to give you an illustration. Some of you that are younger, you probably won't really know this as much, but if you grew up in like in the 80s and the 90s like I did, I want you to stop and think about some of the amazing video games back then. Remember Pac-Man? Remember that one? Remember Frogger? Trying to get across the road? Oh, you know, remember Donkey Kong? Oh man, I lost so many quarters on Donkey Kong. I love that. Quest, I don't know if you remember that video game. But there's also another one called Asteroids. I don't know if you remember Asteroids. Asteroids was a game where you had on the screen, you'd have your little spaceship, and then all these asteroids would be coming, and you'd try to move away, and you'd try to shoot them and break them to little pieces. But there would always be a time in the game where, like, you're just surrounded, and you can't get them all the asteroids, and then you're like, we're going to die, you know, we're going to be hit, and it's going to ruin my spaceship. And so on this game, there is a button, if you remember, and it was called Hyperspace. And you would hit hyperspace, and all of a sudden your ship would go away from where all the asteroids are coming, and be like up in the corner over here where you're kind of safe. And you're like away, you're safe, you have a way out. It was an escape, right? That's what we need. Except in life, we don't have a button that says hyperspace. We have one that says hypergrace. Where all of a sudden when we have temptation, God allows us, hit that button and take the escape, the hyper grace to get out of that, to choose not to be satisfied, but instead to be honoring and obeying God. And God says, hit that button and get out of there first. What does that mean? Let me give you an example. Maybe that means when your boyfriend wants you to get in the back seat of his car, man, you hit that button, you hit it twice, you hit him. I mean, and then you get out of the car. Maybe that's what you need to do. You look for things and you're like, God, there's ways out. You always give us a way out. Somebody is tempting you to try to do something. Let me tell you, that is not your friend. God is saying, no, walk away the other way. Go the other direction. We always look for the way out because God always gives you and I a way out. God always gives us an escape. If we so choose it, if we look for it, if we understand what God's word says, that is why, listen, that's why we got to be in God's word. That's why so many, like most homes in America has 4 to 5 Bibles that are covered with dust because people don't use them. If you get in God's word, especially now when you have more time than ever, and actually be in God's word and get close to God during this quarantine time, do you know that God can speak to you? And you can speak to God, and God can help you through some of these things. And you can come out the other side of this quarantine better. But you're going to, first, when it comes to temptation, you're going to have to confess it to God for forgiveness. And if you truly want a way out, you're going to have to confess it to other people. Be held accountable so that you can be healed. Are you willing and ready to do that? I hope so. Let's pray. So Father, today, I pray right now for each and every one that is watching this live or those that are watching it as a video later on. Lord, I pray that you would speak to their heart. I pray that you would help those who are struggling, even before the pandemic and all this isolation stuff, those that were struggling and having temptation, but now, Lord, we're in isolation. We got this pandemic thing going on, and so many people are afraid and worried, and their temptation is just going out of control. But Father, today we've talked about 4 truths about temptation. We also heard that you always give us an escape. We always have an opportunity. When we have temptation, it's an invitation to depend on you. Lord, may we remember that phrase. May it always be when we have temptation, we have an invitation to depend more on you. Because when we do that, when we push into you instead of to the temptation, Lord, you always give us a way out. And I'm so thankful that you, Jesus, the Son of God, who left heaven to come to earth and show us the way to God the Father, you were tempted as well. You didn't sin like we did, but you were tempted. So you understand what we are going through. Thank you, Jesus, that you understand that. So, Lord, I pray for those right now that are struggling with their temptation. Would you help us to read these verses and the notes we took today and apply these things and actually push into you, depend on you. And we say thank you, Lord, for what you are going to do. I believe, Lord, over the next few weeks, you are going to release and free people that have been bound by temptation for months, possibly years, possibly decades. And they're finally going to get free. And we say thank you. Lord, today, there may be some that are watching this video that have not have a relationship with you. But today they're realizing this is exactly what they need. They need you. Our world is in chaos. It doesn't make sense. Things are weird right now. But God, you are the stable factor. You are the one that they can hold on to. You are the one that they need a relationship with. And Lord, there are some probably right now that don't think that you want a relationship with them, that you're mad at them, that you hate them, that you don't love them. God, would you help them to realize that that is not true? That's from the enemy. God, you love them. You care about them. You created them. You died and rose again for them. You desperately want a relationship with them. So Father, I pray for those that right now are realizing that you actually like them. And I pray, Lord, that you would help them to say something like this as they give their life to you. Say, God, forgive me. God, you know all my mistakes, all my problems, all my transitions, all of my temptations, everything I have in my life that I've done wrong. And I don't know why you don't want a relationship with me, God, but you do. And so I'm asking for your forgiveness. And I so want to have this relationship with you. And again, it will go for all of this life and into eternity. So Jesus, I thank you for those that are right now coming into this relationship. By saying this prayer, by accepting your forgiveness, this is not the end. This is just the beginning of a new life and a new relationship with you. And we say thank you. In your amazing name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thanks for joining
us.
We look forward
Thanks
to
for joining us this
week.
Morning. We would love to hear from you and hear what God is doing in your life. In fact, if you just asked Jesus to be your Savior, we would love to hear about it and celebrate with you. For starters, you can text the word Jesus to the number 509-309-8284, and we'll send you a short devotional video series from Pastor Mark explaining your new life in Christ. You can also reach out to us by filling out your connection card on our C3 Tri-Cities app. We love connecting with you, celebrating with you, and praying for you. And the connection card is the best way to do that. If you're looking for more resources, you'll find a ton of options on our website, c3tricities.com. There you'll find resources for kids, students, parents, counseling, and a whole lot more. Again, that's all at c3tricities.com. You can also join us on social media. We have live devotionals on Facebook every weekday at 5 p.m. We hope to see you there. If you have students in middle school and high school, our C3 Students Instagram feed has a live broadcast every Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. The C3 Students Instagram feed also has live prayer and devotionals every day at noon. It's a safe place for your students to get together, share, grow, and connect every day. And an extra special thank you goes out to all of you who financially support the mission of C3. Your faithfulness and generosity is how we're able to continue sharing the good news of Jesus. Thank you for partnering with us. To find out ways you can help contribute, go to c3tricities.com and click on the button that says Give. Thanks again for joining us. We look forward to seeing you soon.